1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. More bloodshed in the Israel-Hamas war. Israeli strikes hitting near several hospitals in Gaza City. But the White House says Israel has agreed to pause the violence in four-hour daily shifts to get civilians out and aid in. Political waves over West Virginia's Senator Joe Manchin's bombshell announcement that he won't seek re-election. Analysts say a Republican could take the seat next year, and there's talk Manchin could become a third-party presidential candidate, hurting President Biden. Manchin giving no indication.
Every incentive in Washington is designed to make our politics extreme. The growing divide between Democrats and Republicans is paralyzing Congress and worsening our nation's problems. The majority of Americans are just plain worn out.
And just in, the Culinary Workers Union in Las Vegas has reached a deal with the last holdout hotel on the Strip, Wynn Resorts, averting a strike that was set to start this morning. This is ABC News. Two top U.S. officials are in India discussing security challenges and concerns about China with their counterparts there. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
We have a lot to do, including with our defense colleagues, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And I think it's further evidence of our resolute focus for the United States on the Indo-Pacific, our region for the future.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin also there as the U.S. offers itself to the region as an alternative to technology from China. The FBI now offering a $10,000 reward in the search for a man wanted in connection with the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Agents were about to arrest Gregory Yetman near Princeton, New Jersey when he ran into the woods. The smartphone could become a relic if a new product catches on. The, quote, artificial intelligence pin works by voice control and has a laser display that turns the palm of a hand into a screen. The startup company called Humane starts taking orders next week. Liz Landers, ABC News.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker, and each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden, staff.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state assembly passed a bevy of election-related bills on Thursday. One of the bills would allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots the day before an election. Governor Evers said that he is ready to sign that bill if it comes to his desk. The assembly also passed a number of proposed constitutional amendments. One of those would ban local governments from using private money to run elections. It's now set to go before voters next year. Meanwhile, Assembly Republican Majority Leader Tyler August sounds open to changes the state Senate has made to the American Family Field Maintenance Bill.
I see no reason why we wouldn't have the votes to be able to concur on that amendment almost immediately and put this issue to bed once and for all.
The amendment increases money from the Milwaukee Brewers and lowers the contribution from state taxpayers. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers head to the Steel City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-5 Packers face the 5-3 Steelers on Sunday. The last time Green Bay won a game in Pittsburgh was in 1970 when Bart Starr was still the quarterback. Meanwhile, Jordan Love has faced defensive stars like the Raiders' Max Crosby, the Rams' Aaron Donald, and this week, linebacker T.J. Watt.
Yeah, I mean, that's the NFL. You know, I think every team has some good pass rushers and everybody's pretty good.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers with a big game at the Kohler Center. They host the number 9th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. This will be the first time the Badgers have hosted a top-10 team in November. NBA, despite Giannis scoring 54 points, the Bucks lost on the road to the Pacers, 126-124. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin ejected from the game.
It just had a difference of opinions. You know, I voiced my opinion, and next time I'll do it in a little bit more delicate way.
That's the Bucks' Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. 39 today, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 26 tonight, overcast. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, high of 42. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 34.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Thank you, Don. Welcome back to Up North News Radio for a Friday. It's November 10th. Craig Bach is here in Waukesha as well. Coming up this hour, we'll talk about Wausau's Woman of Action. Mayor Katie Rosenberg is getting public acclaim from the Biden administration for how quickly and successfully the city tackled the problem of dealing with PFAS in the drinking water. We will visit with Jimmy Koska, who will take us through tonight's state football semifinal matches. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of election night in several states around the country this week. Dan Schumacher with more about sports as well. First, a reminder that if you missed our last hour or want to listen back to any of our episodes, there's an app for that. Go to the Civic Media, go to wherever you get your apps, get the Civic Media app. You can tune in to all of the different stations, listen to all the different shows, call or text to interact with the show. And you can also go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, and you can listen back to single episodes. Unless you subscribed by a podcast, then go to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to Up North News Radio and all the Civic Media shows there. So many ways to catch us. Greg, you mentioned that you've got things happening at the Comedy Club this weekend, but I didn't ask if you were doing anything, you know, like getting ready for, you're doing your Christmas shopping, raking leaves. What's on your honey-do list?
Oh, my honey-do, let's see. Well, I got a new table saw, new to me table saw. A friend of mine gave me one. So I got when we bought the house last year, it came with a play set in the back that I was like, oh yeah, our friends can come over and the kids can play and we can sit out and have cocktails. And then I went over to the play set and I touched it. I'm like, no child is ever going near this. So I'm taking it apart and I'm going to saw the wood down and throw it all out because it's rotten wood. And so I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to try to enjoy my Sunday because it's been a long week and I want to relax. My wife and I have differing schedules. So Saturdays and Sundays are our time to hang out and connect.
Good. I hope you get to use a lot of that.
Heck yeah. What about you, Pat?
I don't know.
That's the best.
Well, part of it is dependent upon, where Sherry works at the hospital. Yeah. There, they have, what we call them temps, you know, temporaries that come in. They call them locums for, you know, substitute physicians. Yeah. And there's a reason why that we need, or they need substitutes to come in. But the thing about substitutes or temps or locums is sometimes they say they're going to start on this day.
Yeah.
And then you hear from them the day before. It's like, I got a better offer from this other place. So theoretically, she's off for the weekend. But
you never know.
You just never know in this business that she's in.
How long has your wife been a doctor now?
Well, let's see. She graduated the Medical College of Wisconsin down there in 1980 or 1991.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All we were right. down
there. Both our daughters were born when we were there from 87 to 91. So we're coming up on, 32 years as a doctor. Okay. And early on, we always would get a laugh when she'd say, she'd go into an exam room and, somebody would say, "Are you the nurse? You're too young to be the doctor."
Yeah.
But I don't think I mentioned this yesterday, but I had my annual eye exam Wednesday with a new doctor. And that's exactly what I thought. I thought, is she too young to be a doctor? And a little voice in my head said, "Oh no, we're here now."
Whenever I see anybody in scrubs now, I just say, "Are you a doctor?" Because I feel like anything else would be like
an insult.
If you insult a doctor, they're like, "I'm a doctor." So I'm just like, "Hey, are you a doctor?" Like, "No, I'm a high school student. Just took my sister's scrubs." That's
I never understand why more people don't wear scrubs all the time.
So comfy.
I mean, you don't have to worry about fashion at all. Mm-hmm. This is what we're wearing today.
Yep.
That's funny. Yeah. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is getting some well-deserved attention. And because I know her, I know she's sharing that credit with everybody else who deserves it for the way that they have quickly dealt with water quality issues. There was a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Laura Schult. Is it Schult or Schulte? I've got to meet her and find out. But she always writes great stories and talked about how Tom Perez, a senior advisor to President Biden, visited Wausau yesterday to see a new water treatment facility and watch as a family turned on their water for the first time after having all their lead pipes removed. Rosenberg has spent years aggressively seeking federal and state funding and grants to help finance the replacement of those lead laterals and install a nearly $17 million treatment plant. Tom Perez said, up there, "I really think that mayors across not just Wisconsin, but across the country are going to be calling the mayor of Wausau to ask how she did this and how they can copy you," which is interesting because that will now be the second time that that's happened. The first time was when she brought in goats to trim the buckthorn and other weeds in some city parks, and other cities were calling and saying, "How does that work? And is it working?" And now they're going to talk about how she helped tackle the water issue. She posted on Facebook that after the last 2 years of grappling with PFAS and finally getting our temporary fix online while constructing our permanent granular activated carbon system, it was truly an honor to introduce Director Perez to Wausau and show the investments our community has made in its water. But that's not the only good news story coming out of Wausau, as Mayor Rosenberg noted in a social media post that while Tom Perez was there, part of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, he was part of an event to thank and acknowledge the service of Hmong Lao veterans and recognize the contributions of our Hmong neighbors to the community and to the nation. The mayor wrote that as we lined up awaiting Director Perez's arrival, the foyer was filled with anticipation and pride. These veterans, many of whom started their service as 14-year-olds during the secret war in Laos, have rarely, if ever, heard a thank you from the White House. Despite them working alongside the CIA during the war in Vietnam, despite them never being allowed back to their homes in Laos because of their work on behalf of the U.S., and despite their scars from war being deep and complicated, many have never received veteran status, GI benefits, or even until today, a thank you on behalf of the nation. It was an extremely impactful ceremony, and she goes on to thank many folks, including the Hmong American Center and the Wisconsin United Coalition of Mutual Assistance Association, and of course, Tom Perez from the White House. A very apt way to thank those veterans and all veterans as we approach Veterans Day coming up this weekend. It's 7:13 right now, and we'll have the updated weather forecast from Weatherology just a little over a minute away. First, we'll tell you that in sports on this Friday, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored an NBA season-high 54 points, but he also committed two turnovers in the final 90 seconds of the game. The Indiana Pacers rallied late to beat the Milwaukee Bucks 126-124 last night. They will be playing tomorrow night in Orlando. The Green Bay Packers are at Pittsburgh Sunday at noon. You can catch the Packer game on WRCO-FM, radio from the center in Richland Center, WRJN-AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls. The Badger football team is at Camp Randall Stadium to take on Northwestern tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. And there are several civic media stations that have the Badger football game, including WRCE, News from the Center, WLAK Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. 7 a.m. temperatures across the state, 35 degrees up here in Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 33. Park Falls is at 32. Mosinee is reporting 34 at the Central Wisconsin Airport. Green Bay, 35. La Crosse is at 39 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 36. Oshkosh, 35. Madison, 33. And in Waukesha right now, it is 32 degrees. So not the low 50s that we had on Monday, which was rather unique and unseasonable, but there may be a bit of a warm-up ahead somewhere near the tail end of this weekend. And for all the details, we'll turn to meteorologist Jennifer Wyszycki from Weatherology to tell us more. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and you're right. We are looking at a warm-up coming in for the weekend, particularly once we get to the end of the weekend, Sunday, and into the start of the work week ahead. Today is really going to be kind of our coolest day for this forecast. Looks like cloudy or becoming mostly cloudy for all today. A cooler day as that cold front pushes through the state. Mid to low 40s from Wisconsin Rapids southward, upper 30s from Wausau over towards west central Wisconsin, with a few spotty flurries early on this morning there. For the weekend, Saturday, a warm front starts to push through, slightly warmer for all tomorrow. Highs linger in the 40s for everyone. Sunshine expected from Oshkosh down to Madison and over towards Milwaukee. Partial sunshine for everyone else, and it looks like a slight chance for some rain and snow mixing early in the afternoon hours around Wausau, Amory, and Baldwin, then becoming more of a slight chance for some rain as those temperatures get closer to 40. Sunday looks like sunny or becoming sunny for all, a little warmer overall as well, mid-50s to right around about 50 degrees for everyone. Then to start out the work week Monday, a similar forecast, sunny skies for all, mid to low 50s expected, a few warmer spots getting into the upper 50s around Richland Center and around Milwaukee.
Good information to have as we do our weekend planning, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And we get that weatherology forecast throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are a part of Courier Newsroom, and we are proud to be part of Civic Media for 2 hours every weekday morning. But I do like to tell you what else is happening around Civic Media's or around Courier Newsroom, and that would include some newsletters that are coming up. Mark Jacob, you'll hear from him in about 15 minutes or so. He has a weekly newsletter called Stop the Presses about some of the weaknesses in American journalism and how to deal with right-wing extremism that's always trying to work the press. You heard from Kia Vakil in our last hour. He has a biweekly newsletter called Frontlines. Carolyn Fiddler has a must-read newsletter called Statehouse Action. It's got all the latest insider news from state capitals across the country. And Kyle Tharp has, for what it's worth, a weekly newsletter that breaks down digital spending, strategy, tactics, trends in elections, not just candidates, but PACs and other advocacy groups. Where are they advertising? Where are they putting their messages? And if you say, hey, it's a year before the election, it's no, man, it's too early. It most definitely is not. You saw what some of the polling numbers looked like recently, and we're in election season pretty much full time. We may not like it, but if you want your friends and neighbors to understand what's going on in the news and in the issues, then we need programs like this to counter some of the information or misinformation that you're going to hear elsewhere. Let's pause in a little over 60 seconds or so, and I'm going to send a link over to Jimmy Koska so he can come join us and talk about the state semifinals for the high school football playoffs. Back after this, you're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. you know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
It's going to be a big, busy night for some high school football teams. Jimmy Koska is going to tell us about that and more during our little visit. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks. So this is, what is this? Is this level four? Time flies.
Yeah, the high school football season flies by. It's crazy. I mean, the team I coach, we played only 9 weeks, and it felt like, wow, we just started practice. We just handed out equipment yesterday. But right. For playoff teams, yeah, there's 5 weeks of postseason. Hard to believe there's only 15 games left in the entire season for high school football.
Yeah, I mean, and the eight-man, that championship is this weekend, right?
Yeah, tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids, Thorpe will take on Florence. I have one of my good friends, Keldrick Stokes, is the head coach of the Thorpe Cardinals. Just a few years ago, they were, like the team I coach, not able to win a game. So it is great to see that they've built a program in eight-player football and play for that championship tomorrow.
All right. Well, why don't you walk us through some of the matchups for tonight so we get a feel for who might be at Camp Randall next weekend.
For sure. You know, small school-wise, Division 7, where I'll start. Blackhawk Warren and Reidsville is a rematch of a Level 3 game from just a couple of years ago when Reidsville went on to win the state championship. I think that one's fascinating because it's two teams that are kind of your prototypical small school pound-the-ball kind of offenses. And on the other side of the bracket, Bangor and Edgar are a lot like that. The Division 7 field, I think, is exciting for football purists because that's the kind of football that wins in November. Typically, weather's a lot worse.
Yep.
But the weather's supposed to be pretty good this week. With today it's supposed to be cooler, but this time of year you can have, you know, literally any kind of weather. You know, snow and everything else that happens. So,
and And I mentioned previously that Reidsville in Manitowoc County, a little farming community, is where my wife's from. So this show is unapologetically saying go Panthers tonight.
It's a great setup, too, where they play. They play in that park kind of south of the school campus, and there's the pine trees. You know, it's your real classic Wisconsin sports setting. So
very much so, yes.
It's really cool. In Division 6, you get your traditional state powers like Darlington and Stratford. They're still in the field. They're respectively playing Kewaunee and Grantsburg. Your small schools tend to be a lot more run heavy. That's certainly the case there. Division 5 and a few of these middle divisions have the Cinderella stories. So in Division 5, for example, Horicon Hustisford, they're actually all the way to Level 4. It's actually a team that I got to see this year at a scrimmage, so I actually know a little bit about them. But the only number one seed remaining in Division 5 is Aquinas, which is in La Crosse. Otherwise, you have a 3-seed, a 3-seed, and a 5-seed in St. Croix Falls all still going. When you talk about smaller schools, again, in the case of a school like St. Croix Falls, or really any small school, a lot of these teams have a lot of multi-sport athletes, and St. Croix Falls is a program that has a great wrestling tradition. They seem to be at state just about every year in wrestling, so that's certainly a cool story there when you have to play basically on the road the entire way and then make it to a state semifinal. I think that's always pretty neat. Division 4 has, again, it's another division with just one top seed remaining, and that is Lodi. They play Baldwin Woodville in West Central Wisconsin. The other side, Catholic Memorial plays Luxembourg Casco. Catholic Memorial, Pat, draws some of that ire from people who wonder why a school like Catholic Memorial is hanging around in Division 4,
yeah.
Because it is in Waukesha, where there's a much larger pool of people to come from. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the schools that really sets off that public school versus private school debate that many have in high school sports.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're in the field and they're once again playing for a way to get back to camp.
They're there, but I you know, I remember when you had the WIAA tournament, but then you also had the WISA tournament, you know, for the private schools. And it's not that way anymore. So yeah, we get this debate all the time. Before you move on with the brackets, I want to ask, as I'm looking at the brackets, like Baldwin Woodville versus Lodi, they're playing in Arcadia at 7 o'clock, and then Catholic Memorial and Luxembourg Casco, they're playing in Kewaskum at 7 o'clock. And I always wonder how much of a turnout you get from the locations where the games are being played. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, 90% people being bussed in from the various places. But if you're down there in Arcadia, I wonder if more than, you know, two or three people wander in and say, hey, this is a big game. Let's go watch it.
I actually just asked this question this week. The head coach at Arcadia is Derek Updike. He's a basketball alum. So I actually talked to him a little bit about, hey, you get to host a game. You're not in it, but you get to host a playoff event. And I think it does draw a few people out. A lot of the schools that build these facilities that are capable of hosting sectional level games, they build the facilities with in mind that they might be bringing in people from the area. I know in referendum projects, for example, when they build a facility, a gym, a field, whatever it is, the idea is that the community can come out and see some of these higher level games. So like you, I think that, yeah, a lot of the people are there to see one team or the other. But I got to imagine when you put in these multi-million dollar turf facilities that people are going to be interested to see, you know, a state semifinal right on your home field.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Well, that takes us up to Division III now.
Yes, Division III. This is an interesting and very fun bracket because you've got the lowest seed in the entire state that's made it this far in Stoughton. And they'll play a 4 seed in Grafton. Stoughton is a 7 seed. And this kind of reminds me of 2016, Monona Grove in 2016 behind Alec Ogden, who's now a standout quarterback at UW-Whitewater, led Monona Grove. They played every single game on the road before getting to state and taking home the silver ball. One of those stops happened to be Waukesha West. Well, Stoughton and Grafton play in Waukesha West. Wow. So I see some parallels to that. I thought it was really interesting. On the other side of that is a matchup we've actually seen at state before. Rice Lake plays Notre Dame, not Notre Dame the college, Notre Dame the high school near Green Bay. And that game's being played at Marshfield. That's been a state matchup. And that's a really cool matchup, I think, for fans that are in that part of the state, if you're not coming from the far north and from the east, coming all the way over, for people in, you know, in Marshfield or that area, that's a state championship level matchup. So I think that's a really exciting thing. You mentioned people like in an area going to see a game that maybe not are affiliated with either team. I think for people in that area, that's certainly one to watch.
Around Marshfield? Definitely expect that. All right. How's Division II?
Division II has a couple of teams very familiar to this process in the Dane County area. Wanakee is playing Kakana, a matchup of top seed. Sun Prairie East and Badger go in the other one. The interesting thing with Sun Prairie East, of course, as you know, and I think many people know, Sun Prairie was one high school up until a couple of years ago. Now it's split into East and West. To see East, you know, playing for another trip to state so quickly after splitting a couple of years ago in that high school, I think is really remarkable. D1 is your matchup of really, really familiar programs. Kimberly Marquette on one side, Hamilton and Franklin on the other. Kimberly and Franklin, of course, have won state titles recently. The Final Four in Division I is absolutely loaded once again. It's been a fun bracket so far in D1. So those are your matchups. Those are the 15 games remaining in high school football. Obviously, the 7 championship games next week at Camp Randall Thursday.
I was going to say, now, how does that work at Camp Randall? So it's Thursday and Friday.
Yep. So Thursday starts at 10 in the morning. It goes 10, 1, 4, and 7 for the games, Division 7 through 4. And then Friday, 10, 1, and 4, Divisions 3 through 1. So it's pretty cool if you get in there for multiple games. Hopefully, as it's looking, the weather next week is supposed to be amazing. Camp Randall can be a real miserable time when it's
30. That's what I was going to close with, is it's always a wild card, you know, Camp Randall in November.
Yeah, next week, a lot of the weather forecasts that I saw in the news last night said next week we're going to be in the 60s. That's perfect weather. Whether it's November or anytime, 60 is great football weather.
Absolutely is. Jimmy Koska, thank you so much for the rundown. I hope folks who are either supporters of those teams or in those areas have a nice time this evening. Have a great weekend.
Pat, I appreciate it. Take care, man.
All righty. When we come back, we're going to have Mark Jacob in. It's been a big week for elections around the country and certainly other news highlights as well. How about Joe Manchin retiring from the U.S. Senate and maybe an independent candidate for president? Pardon me while I go roll my eyes. We'll be back. You're up north. In the air, lots of love is everywhere, so
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. More bloodshed in the Israel-Hamas war. Israeli strikes hitting near several hospitals in Gaza City. But the White House says Israel has agreed to pause the violence in four-hour daily shifts to get civilians out and aid in. Political waves over West Virginia's Senator Joe Manchin's bombshell announcement that he won't seek re-election. Analysts say a Republican could take the seat next year, and there's talk Manchin could become a third-party presidential candidate, hurting President Biden. Manchin giving no indication.
Every incentive in Washington is designed to make our politics extreme. The growing divide between Democrats and Republicans is paralyzing Congress and worsening our nation's problems. The majority of Americans are just plain worn out.
And just in, the Culinary Workers Union in Las Vegas has reached a deal with the last holdout hotel on the Strip, Wynn Resorts, averting a strike that was set to start this morning. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment is up at the Universities of Wisconsin for the first time since 2014. The system is out with its numbers for the first 10 days of the school year. It says there are 1,700 more students enrolled than last year. There are now a little more than 162,000 students enrolled at state universities in Wisconsin. 10 of 13 four-year schools are seeing increases, but enrollment at two-year branch campuses is down again. Officials with the Biden administration were in Wausau this week to praise how they're quickly and aggressively addressing PFAS contamination. Senior Biden advisor Tom Perez went to see the city's new water treatment plant on Thursday. Wausau is set to receive nearly $6 million in federal funds to replace lead service lines. Perez said that mayors across the country should be looking at Wausau to learn how to address the forever chemicals. Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. 39 today, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 26 tonight, overcast. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, high of 42. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 33.
Timeout.
All right, remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. UK.
I can see you got your eye on this old cowboy. And I can tell you
7:34 on this Friday. Mark Jacob is with us now as we talk about some of the events of the week here and the, I guess, big news that West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin is going to be not seeking re-election and retiring. Mark, I think I got all that right, except I used the word Democratic, and I'm not sure that was factually accurate.
Yeah, I mean, we people who are, you know, more left of center, slightly, which is what I would call myself, I suppose, had real problems with Joe Manchin, and we didn't, because him declaring as a Democrat, you know, meant for a couple years was the reason why the Democrats controlled the Senate. You know, so you couldn't, like, it wasn't a bad thing. It was actually a very good thing. But Manchin himself was just a disaster. I mean, he was, in effect, he let the Democrats control the Senate, and then he was made sure they couldn't pass good legislation. You know, I mean, he's responsible for a lot of bad things. The thing that miffs me the most is how he helped block the renewal of the child tax credit, you know, the expansion of it.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think that will be his legacy, much like, what's his name, Joe Lieberman was in blocking the public option.
You know, I mean, Joe Manchin, Pat, Joe Manchin put a couple million children back into poverty. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, this guy, Mr. Yacht, did that. And he also, you know, another thing he's terrible on is climate change. I mean, he's disastrous on climate change, and he's blocked stuff there, too. So it's kind of, it's a, well, thanks for, you know, letting us have the Senate for a few years, but good riddance. He's just a terrible guy. And this speculation that he's going to be some sort of fantastic, you know, presidential candidate, I think is ridiculous, too.
Yeah, the rumors that he and Mitt Romney might make up some kind of a ticket. And again, you mentioned during the break, a lot of us who follow politics closely understand these guys, but honestly, the number of people who know more than Joe Manchin is a senator, you know, if even that, right. He's got nothing to build off of except maybe a lot of money from a third, you know, an independent group that wants to, you know, play in this race.
Yeah, but you know, I'm even skeptical about whether he would hurt Biden more than Trump. I mean, and that's the what people are speculating, and the polling's been really. It's conflicted. There's, you know, sometimes some have said that he would make a difference. Some have said he wouldn't. But he's a very conservative Democrat, and you know, I mean, where's he going to shave votes off from? He's not going to get, you know, black votes, I don't think. He's a pretty much conservative from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So where's that going to come from? How's he going to take those away from Biden? I just don't know what. I just think that he might end up being, if he runs as the no labels guy, he might end up being someone who conservatives could say, well, he's not Trump, but he's a conservative. So I mean, I am completely unconvinced that he would hurt Biden more than he would hurt Trump.
All right. Mark Jacob is with us here. And as we're talking about goings on in elections all around the area, I think a lot of the media outlets nailed it pretty well. Well, the broadcast ones in saying that it was a good week for Biden and it was a bad week for Republicans, but it didn't take much for them and for the print media to revert to the norm of basically, and I'm not even really exaggerating when they say it was a good week for Biden. Here's why that's bad for Biden.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, Democrats are doing well, Biden's not. And the thing about it, and this drove me crazy, this drives me crazy, is they just cling to the polls so desperately. And so there was a bad poll about Biden in swing states. Okay, here we are, a year away from the election. I just went and checked, you know, like this time in 2015, and Ben Carson was beating Trump. So, all right, so what does it really mean? Yet, the news media tends to just pound that news rather than pounding the actual election that happened on Tuesday. And when you look at it, you know what the margin of error is on that election, Pat? Zero. It's not like, well, we're not sure whether the poll was conducted right or we got all the right people. It's an election. People registered to vote. They went and voted. We counted the ballots. That's what we should be talking about. And it just drives me crazy when they've got to kind of do this kind of savvy, well, you know, good news for the Democrats, bad news for Biden. Well, the Democrats won by running on the same issues that Biden's going to be running on next year. So it's just punditry to me.
Oh, yeah. And I also wonder, when you talk about there's only, you know, finite resources for newsrooms, and we talked about this with Kia Vakil last hour as well, that, you know, every you know, hour of time spent covering the horse race is an hour where you're not covering the issues. And in my case, thinking about this week, one of the things that seems to me to be grossly undercovered was the voting problems in the state of Mississippi. You know, the one place where a Republican did well this week was also the place where in many black majority districts, they ran out of ballots again.
Right.
And have always had issues with state government not supporting them. And that to me is worthy of some reporting.
You know, and that's the thing. You just never, I don't remember ever in recent years hearing about them running out of ballots in a majority white district. In voting in this country. So why is that? It's because Republicans run elections in certain states. And in Mississippi, you know, that Presley guy, the candidate, the relative of Elvis Presley who ran as a Democrat, did pretty well, lost, but came within, 5 or 6 percentage points last time I looked at it. And, you know, which is pretty good in Mississippi. I mean, some of these states in the South, especially, that have been historically trying to suppress the black vote, they're succeeding at that effort less and less as time goes on, because black voters and progressive voters who are white are getting more savvy and fighting harder and seeing that they're close enough to possibly make a difference. And they're not, it's not futile to them. And so they're fighting it. You know, if you look at the story of Georgia in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, that's what that is. That's a population that has been put down for centuries coming back and deciding that it can have political power if it works hard enough. And so Mississippi is like that too. But, you know, how many times do you have to see these 4-hour long, you know, waits to vote and we ran out of ballots? I mean, that's unconscionable in this country. And it the only reason for it is that Republicans don't want people to vote.
And you also had, of course, the, I'll call it interference from the U.S. Supreme Court in its assaults on the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
And basically, you know, Chief Justice John Roberts saying, you know, well, everything is cured. You know, racism has been cured and we don't need these protections, when the examples keep piling up of, you know, what appear to be abuses or at least some, you know, shenanigans after protections from the Voting Rights Act were pulled back.
Right. I mean, in the ironically, the same Supreme Court that declared that, well, you know, the voting problems that the Voting Rights Act was supposed to address have been solved. And that's what John Roberts said. He says it's just not needed anymore because everything's good now. That's the same Supreme Court that just ruled that Alabama was gerrymandering its districts to dilute black power. I mean, the Supreme Court, thankfully, ordered that, you know, that another congressional district give black people a chance to have representation. And that's happening in many states in the South, Louisiana. I mean, it's just happening a lot that they're gerrymandering that. I come from Arkansas. I used to live there. And they took the middle of the state, the Little Rock, which has a lot of black voters, a lot of liberal voters. And they cut it in three pieces. They cut it in three pieces so that each of it could have, you know, be outweighed by the rural areas that are heavily Republican. This gerrymandering. I'm lecturing.
It sounds very familiar. Yeah, let's see.
Lecturing
Sheboygan.
People about gerrymandering is kind of ridiculous of me. I understand that. Yeah. But that's what's happening, and that's why you need the Voting Rights Act, and that's why this problem is not solved. And Republicans really don't want a democracy in which everyone's got an equal vote.
But let's look at where the problem lies, and that is in the U.S. Supreme Court, a body that has the weakest ethics of all of the courts in the United States. And so Democrats in the U.S. Senate this week were hoping to advance the cause for a code of ethics for the U.S. Supreme Court, something that should not be partisan. And yet Republicans yesterday jammed it. I think they filed like 88 amendments to slow it down, which is essentially giving up the game when you're saying we will do whatever it takes to let these Supreme Court justices keep accepting billionaire gifts.
Right. And think about how ridiculous this is, that one of the most powerful bodies in the entire U.S. government, maybe the most powerful, is had because they are the last word, really. They have no code of ethics. They have no accountability. They can do whatever they want, and they can take bribes. You know, it's okay. And why is that the case? I mean, it's absurd. And so we need ProPublica and other really good journalism outlets to find out that rich right wingers are paying money to our Supreme Court justices, and that they're not disclosing it on the disclosure forms. This disclosure process, Pat, is, you know, if they did it, it would be good. But they simply, people like Clarence Thomas have decided they don't have to report stuff. And then they get caught by ProPublica, and it's, you know, all right. So they sometimes will amend their report. Well, there's no accountability. There's no punishment for that. So they can hide stuff. Alito hit a trip that, you know, happened more than a decade ago. They're not, and you can't have an ethical government where the most powerful people are unaccountable.
You know what else was hidden, either, you know, however intentionally it was. You have the chair of one of the House committees investigating Hunter Biden and investigating Joe Biden for giving his brother a $200,000 loan and then having his brother repay it. And apparently that repayment is some kind of a gotcha. But the Daily Beast is now reporting that the committee chair, Congressman Comer, lent his brother $200,000 at one point, and the brother paid it back. So apparently it's, you know, a scandal a scandal on thee, but not for me.
Yeah, well, that Comer guy is just such a clown. I mean, but he's a clown that Fox News takes seriously and pretends is serious. And oh, look what he's got. Oh, here's what we found now. And it's all just, and it's, you know, there's a reason why the New York Times, Washington Post, and various other legitimate news sources, criticize them if you want, but they are legitimate news sources and they are fact-based. There's a reason why they're not making a big deal about this. It's because it's BS. It's because it's not true. If you look at the facts, it's not. And Biden giving his brother a loan and getting it repaid is not a crime in this country. I mean, it's, nor should it be. So them kind of trying to create all this dust is, it's clearly political, and they're doing it. They know it's clearly that they're doing it because the former president of the United States has been indicted on 91 counts.
I think that, and that's where I think our last stop will be this week's debate, where once again, you've got media outlets depicting former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as a moderate, as a reasonable alternative. That's not what she really is.
Oh, gosh. And, you know, she still won't criticize Trump. She still said, I mean, all these Republicans at this debate were saying, well, Trump was the right candidate at the right time in 2016, but he's not now. Well, you know, come on, let's be reality-based here and realize that Donald Trump hasn't changed in decades. He is the same scam artist, the same liar, the same crook as he's always been. And, I mean, this idea that, well, he was really good for the country, but he's not now, is absurd. And, you know, Nikki Haley still will not go direct and criticize Trump. And she still will not recognize the fact that he's been bad for this country because, well, she was one of the co-conspirators for part of his administration. This idea that she is the reasonable moderate is more of this, like, media desperation to create a moderate Republican Party when it doesn't exist anymore. I wish it did. You know, I mean, you know, I'm all for, let's talk about the issues. If you're pro-abortion rights or anti-abortion rights, if you're for health care paid for by the government or not, we can all discuss all those things. But I'm not going to discuss with people whether we should actually have elections or not, or whether we should lie about who won the presidential election.
Should we jail our enemies the way Trump is promising to do here, and not for business fraud like he's committing? Mark Jacob, thank you so much. As always, appreciate the look at the week's headlines, and we'll talk again soon.
See you later.
All righty. Coming up next, we'll have Dan Schumacher from Up in Ashland as we tie a bow on this week for Up North News Radio for this Friday, November 10th. Takes a special kind of woman to put up with the life a cowboy leads. 'Cause his boots are always muddy and his beer drinking buddies, they'll camp out on your couch and never leave. Don't even start to think you're gonna change.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Time to play Grateful Dead Name That Tune with Dan Schumacher. What did Greg pick for us today, Dan?
I don't know. What did you pick for me, Greg?
That defeats the purpose of a quiz, but okay. This is a Broke Down Palace, the studio version off of American Beauty.
And this was written in 1972 when the Dead were on their Europe tour, when they were in England, and they wrote it. So they wrote it. He wrote it. Robert Hunter wrote it in his hotel room, and along with three other songs while they were on the road in Europe. And this was one of them.
Pat, I got to tell you this. I knew I was going to like Dan immediately. This man's amazing.
He is the inspiration for that New Yorker cartoon where everybody in the bar looks at this one guy in a Dead t-shirt and says, "Oh no, he's heading for the jukebox again."
Well, luckily with a Dead fan, they only go there like once or twice an hour. So it's
right. Yeah, you get your money's worth. You do get your money's worth.
Exactly. You
know,
really?
It's a 10-minute song all the time.
You really and truly do. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Tony writes in to us. It says, Ashland, driving by Northland College now. Beautiful campus, beautiful place. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that very much. How's the week been there up north?
Rainy. I tell you what, it feels like I am in London where they wrote the song. It wasn't too bad yesterday. I'm back in Chippewa today. Okay. So it's nice and gray, as you know.
Yeah. That's okay.
It is what it is. I'll tell you what, though, to not have any snow up there, and to be in the 50s next week, which is predicted, people are pretty happy up there.
Hey, and congratulations on your initiation to working and commuting up north, based on the photos I saw after you hit that deer. First time for everything?
Oh, it happened so quick. I've always laughed, kind of made fun of people that hit deer. I'm like,
how could you let that happen? No, it happens.
It happens. I mean, that deer, and it was right between Hayward and Spooner, where they don't cut back the trees to give you a little bit of notice when a thing jumps out. The trees are right on the road. That doe just jumped out, and I had nowhere else to go but to go through them.
You really learn to appreciate, when you see some areas where the trees have been cut back and you think, oh, was that really necessary? But when you think of it from a deer standpoint, a deer crash standpoint, you do really notice the difference between cutting big back time. Or not.
I got to believe the insurance companies are a big backer of that.
Oh, I would think so. Greg, you've hit deer in your time?
I've never hit a deer while I was driving, but when I was a kid, we were coming back from a vacation in Atlanta, and I remember being dead asleep and then not being asleep because we hit a deer dead on it, knocked the grill right off the car, and my dad was happy we were okay. The car was actually okay. He was really upset that the deer lived. He's like, "What? What? It just gets to get up and go now?"
They won the traffic lottery.
Yeah.
Dan, let's talk about your Bears who were playing last night. And I want to say they won ugly, but they would have won ugly or lost ugly because they were wearing those orange uniforms again. Pumpkins. The Orange Crush.
Pumpkinheads. That's what I call them. They're pumpkinheads.
Just awful. But they did win. What was it? 16-13, I think was the
final. To be honest with you, I didn't want them to win. I wanted them to have, you know, because they'll
You're going for draft picks now?
They'll draft pick. I'm already working on the draft pick right now. We'll go for a quarterback again. We'll go for another quarterback.
What did the stat I saw there, it's been 14 seasons since you had a quarterback start every game of the season or something like that?
Yes, we're cursed.
That's a long time.
But you know what
time.
I want to talk about, really?
What do you want to talk about, Dan?
My Chicago Cubs.
I'm sorry,
Dan. We're having technical difficulties here. We're losing your feed.
Yep. Oh no.
Yeah.
I want to know how that happened. How do you go to the Mets in Cleveland, and then you're all of a sudden the manager of the Cubs? I mean, how does that happen?
Cha-ching. We've talked about the why and the motivation and everything, but I want to come from your standpoint. When you first saw or heard the news, how shocked were you?
Big time. I was like, well, I can't say it on the radio, you know.
Thank you.
Dan's learning. All right.
No, I just kept asking how, mm-hmm. what happened? How didn't the media know that he was talking to the Cubs? They knew he was at Cleveland. They knew he was with the Mets. Yeah. You know, how did not leak out, and how did it happen so fast and not leak out?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good organization. That, man, that's a tight-lipped one.
I mean, I told Pat that when one of our colleagues here at Pacific Media sent me a text while I was driving and said, "Council news, holy," and then. I got home because I don't text and drive. I got home and I just looked up Council. I'm like, all right, he's going to the Mets. I looked at it. It said Council to go to Cubs, and I dropped my phone.
Yeah.
I almost did.
Yeah.
Shocked.
Yep. So now that the news is we've had to absorb it and everything, what do you think? Because again, it's Dave Ross who had to move. They had to move for him. I mean, is this actually a good move for the Cubs?
I guess if he wins, yes. I mean, it's proof is in the future of what happens. But I also don't like the fact that what they did to David Ross. I think that's heartless, man. To me, that's just completely heartless. And, you know, he won a national – I mean, he won the World Series for the Cubs. I mean, you know, he was a player, you know, and he's been a great manager. They're finally building a roster that he can win with, and then you turn around and dump him. So – I don't know how much better Craig Council is as good a manager as David Ross is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now you can look at the final results to say where he's finished each year. He's been in the playoffs. He's been competitive for the division. But man, I'm in the world of sports, and I fire and hire a lot of people. And I thought that was heartless. I really did. I thought as a Cubs fan, you're a loyal fan, and. Yeah. I think some loyalty would have been good right there. And why do we need Council? I don't understand why he's such a big deal.
That's actually, that's a good way to put it, because again, he was a good fit for the Brewers, hometown kid, knows the team, and he could have tried to start over in Cleveland or New York and see if he really could make it. But to go down to your division rival down the road, and now folks, they're a little suspicious of, you know, is this guy going to work out or not? Just doesn't seem optimal, but again, I mean, that's why they play the games. We'll see how it goes next year.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
All right, hope to see you around there. Greg, thank you so much. Hope you have a lot of fun at the Laughing Tap. All right.
Hey, I will be going to the Palace Theater tomorrow night to watch Dark Star Orchestra.
Nice.
Oh, yes, there you go.
I'll leave you on that note.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And thanks to all of you for joining us throughout the week here. We'll be back at 6 a.m. Monday. Have a wonderful start to the weekend. Remember, you can follow me on socials. Look for Pat Kreitlow or Pat Kreitlow Up North and sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM Lake Air Amory.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.